This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice.
You have a very nice day at work.
Alice at 97.3.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. It's Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny. I want to get in Bruno's way there. It's Alice's morning show. Hello, Wednesday. Hello, hump day. Hello, Vinny.
Hey.
Hump day.
Bottle Rock tickets, we're doing them all week. This is your last chance to win them. They are three-day passes. You get to go the whole time if you win a pair of these. So this is the first taste of summer. Bottle Rock, presented by Jam Cellars. It's right around the corner, just the end of this month, a few weeks out. And at 8 o'clock, 1 hour from now, we'll have your first pair today. There's another pair coming up at noon, and then four more in Jane's show, every hour of her show, on the fives.
The Mill Valley DMV has texted in that John doesn't wear a mask. He waits in line and then calls you when he's at the front and you come up and take your spot right there at the front of the
line. If only there were a DMV in Mill Valley.
No,
how convenient would that be?
In,
That'd be like really convenient, because then I could just camp there and be like, oh, I can't wait to.
No, John camps. Then he calls you in. Yeah. Okay, honey, I'm at the front of the line.
That does sound like something John would do. He's very sweet.
He is a nice boy.
He's a very nice boy. His love language is all the stuff that you needed done for tomorrow is done. I'm like, oh, thanks. Like, my coffee's always done when he sets the timer.
Oh, we know. That's why the texters are having so much fun with this.
Yeah. He would probably do that for me if it was convenient for him. If he could make it, even if it wasn't. I did the Bottle Rock thing. Bottle Rock, May 23rd through the 25th in Napa Valley. Keep it here. We are tickets for Bottle Rock Central. I wanted to read you Jane's text. We just briefly talked about Beck just got added to Outside Lands for the Friday. And Jane, our Jane, who is, by the way, nominated to the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame.
Woo-woo.
She should be a shoo-in. I don't want to jinx it or anything, but she's a longtime radio chick. Like, she's worked in a lot of places. She's broken a lot of bands. She's always been a music director. She's really into music and deciding what gets played. She's kind of an influencer in her own right. She's been influencing what people hear on the radio for years and years and years. She says, it's Jane. I added that part in. She didn't say that. But just so you know, it's her. First time I ever heard the song Loser from Beck, someone from his company brought to the radio station I worked at in Reno on a cassette tape. On one side, it said Beck. Loser. And on the other side, it said Bongload Records. I was like, oof. Thanks, guys. Bye. Lol. And you would, as you would, right? Beck, Loser, Bongload Records.
Very cute.
Yeah. Thanks, Janie. Jane, and by the way, if you ever get a chance, sit down with Jane. Ask her to tell you some stories. She has them. She has a story about Taylor Swift that would take your head clean off.
Well, why don't you tell it?
I won't do it justice, but I'm going to tell Bob because I know Bob is a huge Swiftie. Early days, Taylor Swift in her New York apartment throws a little party that Jane gets to go to, and Taylor is hosting. She's walking around filling people's glasses of wine and making small talk with Jane, just hanging out like that. And this was probably before she decided I'm not country anymore, right? You'll have to ask Janie about it. I mean, we see Jane all the time. Jane is a superstar, and yet mingles with the rest of us, the earth, mere earthlings. So tonight on television, Survivor, here on this show. It's problematic for some of us. Other people are willing to sit through commercials. And actually, that's like, you know, it's hero behavior. I'll give you that. I'm not one of those people. But on Friday, we'll talk about it. So, and it's not, I know Bob did make some moves toward like, oh, well, maybe I'll start watching. Maybe I'll catch up. You're going to watch The Little Survivor. How did that go? You didn't?
Not yet.
Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. Bob, it's okay. This is a new thing that's happening in the world because movie theaters really, really want you to come back. So they're tempting you in with these tchotchkes that are just amazing. I mean, who could forget the Dune tchotchkes, the Dune popcorn bucket, which to me, I think that was kind of the first one that I was like, whoa, that is it's a great idea. It's very sexual. So people are like, oh, because everyone loves that. And then now it's become a collector's thing. There was another one. One of them was like a trunk. And there've been a few. But now this one, people want this. This one is a Mission Impossible popcorn bucket. And it is, you got to open, it comes with some keys on top and you got to figure out how to, it's a puzzle. You have to figure out how the keys go together to then unlock the lock on the top of this box. Oh, we're looking at all these different popcorn things, but it looks like one of those things where, you know, there's some particle or some nuclear thing that's floating inside a glass cylinder that's locked on the top and the bottom. It looks like, you know, that kind of thing, like a hazmat thing.
It's the messages that he gets that give him his mission.
Is that so?
It looks like it. It's like he gets these things.
In a canister kind of thing?
And it's the mission, and it'll say, and this thing will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Oh, that's great.
I think that's what that is. I could be wrong.
No, I'm sure you're right. That's, I don't know that I would have. I just thought that someone handed him a note. Here's your...
I've always seen that, and you see it in other movies. It's not just Mission Impossible, but whenever you see someone say... Yeah, you got to meet me at the... And then you got it? I always think, I didn't get it. Can you say it like 5 more times and I need a pencil? Like, are you kidding? Of course I don't have it. And in this Mission Impossible, they're sending him around the way. You've got to get to...
Right.
A faraway location and find...
Figure it out. And he's all... Ding, 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 yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
Memorizing. Got it all. That thing can blow up now. I'd be like,
here's a 32 letter number.
Rewind.
You've got to, I know. And let me check it again in an hour. Okay. Anyway, there's a very, they're calling it overly complicated, but that's what people want in their popcorn buckets. In fact, I'm sure there's people who are going to be like, listen, I'll pay you twice what it would cost for this thing to be full, don't put any popcorn in this. I don't need your oils. And your scents. I just want the bucket for my collection of things that have to do with movies and Tom Cruise. Maybe. I don't know. By the way, whatever Tom Cruise had done recently, it's really settled down. Like, his face is looking good. I saw some pictures
of him. You approve
now? I do.
You're not going to
point out. I feel like he went
out
a little crazy. And then I said, oh, there's the pic. I feel like his face has calmed down significantly.
Well... You know,
what do you think about that?
I think he looks fantastic, and I'm sure doing that one hottie Ana de Armas is helping him considerably.
I've heard that does calm you down.
Like a much better lifestyle once you get the hottest chick in the world to do stuff to you.
Yeah.
What's that like?
He's looking good. Well, we'll never know.
Look at it. No, we do know. Look at him.
He was Tom Cruise the whole time.
So happy, though.
Very happy. Anyway, the bucket that Regal Cinemas came up with, apparently, sure they did, for Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, they're calling this the coolest one yet. You have to open it with 2 keys that fit together. So you pull the keys off the top and you snap them in together and get a little turn. Tom Cruise has to get a special key to control a dangerous artificial intelligence entity in the movie. So this is a tie-in to that. I hope that wasn't a spoiler. The Final Reckoning hits theaters. It's a Memorial Day release, May 23rd. And so, because I love Tom Cruise, it is time for Tom Cruise Fact or Scientology Fan Fiction. It's a little game we're going to play right now. Everybody ready for this? Excuse me. Game time. No, nobody's ready?
We are ready, yes.
Great, excellent.
Yeah, everybody's going down.
Bob, be ready. It's fine. You'll be fine. Bob, are you a Scientologist? Are you going to be bummed out if I do a bunch of Scientology stuff?
No.
Yeah. Mm. HR!
That was bad.
Yeah. Oh,
was
yeah.
Wrong. Yeah.
You're not allowed to ask me that. I'm just kidding.
Hmm. It's dicey. Question one. Tom Cruise once said he can heal sprained ankles with his mind thanks to Scientology training. True or false?
So true.
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 That is true. I would have said, no, we never said that. It's stupid. But no, turns out it's true. Tom Cruise's teeth are misaligned. His front tooth is perfectly centered in the middle of his face.
True.
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 That is true. In fact, I was just looking at that picture right there. You can see that his that middle front tooth is...
He
it's crazy
also
that you don't notice that.
I know until you see it. Then
he
go,
wore
oh.
braces, like well, yeah. as a grown up.
Yeah, I yeah, remember yeah. that.
And it was during the weirdly because, and I don't know what I was doing in my life at the time. Probably during my drinking days, but it was one of those late night shows that I never watch. But he was promoting. What is this? The last Shogun?
Oh. Yeah, it was The Last Shogun.
Well, The Last Samurai.
Last Samurai is the name of the movie. Yeah. That he was promoting that, movie. But he was there with braces, and it was like, whoa, a grown-up movie star. With,
they didn't have an Invisalign when that came
they,
out, huh?
They were maybe clear,
they were
like, I
they
think.
They were clear, but you could oh, definitely but you knew see they, them.
He had oh. braces, and, yeah. you, and you could tell he was like...
Did he pop them out and then go...
No, they weren't Invisalign. Side. They were actual braces.
Oh. You guys, by the way, 2-2-2. Maybe you'll all be winners. Round three. Tom Cruise auditioned women to be a Scientologist girlfriend before settling on Katie Holmes. True or false?
False.
False.
I mean, that was the rumor. I'll say true. Why not?
It is true. Wow. Multiple sources and former Scientologists have claimed that this happened, including the Vanity Fair expose. The church denies it, but come on.
We need a name.
Vanity Fair.
That's
the only name I got for you. Here's the next round. Cruise co-wrote a children's book for Scientology called Zeno and the Galactic Quest for Clear.
True.
I'll say false on that one.
I'll say false.
It is false. Currently, the score is Maddie 4, Bob 3, Vinny 2. Final question. Tom Cruise did over 500 skydives to prep for a Mission Impossible fallout stunt. He did 500 skydives to prep for one stunt.
Sounds like too many. I'm going to say false.
True.
I'm going true.
It is true. And by a score of 5-4-2, he trained obsessively for the high altitude halo jump. Hundreds and hundreds of dives. Because of course he did. Congratulations, Maddie. You are on the show.
He's on the show. Yes, Maddie. On the show, yes, Maddie.
All right.
Maddie told me if I didn't let him win today, he was going to fire me.
I did not. I
would dare. HR!
Don't give He's that innocent her.
Matthew.
Voice.
I would never do that.
I believe
ever.
You. I believe
ever,
you.
Ever, 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 ever.
I always I believe the victim.
Need we her. Believe women on
Matthew.
The show.
Matthew!
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
what
Maddie.
Are you doing?
Now I know I'm in trouble.
Matthew.
The full Matthew.
Here's a story about my best friend, Jennifer Aniston. Love her. Hopefully everything's settling down there. There's a man in his 70s who crashed his car through the gates of Jennifer Aniston's house in Los Angeles. This happened Monday afternoon. Jennifer's security held the man at gunpoint after he crashed through the gate. She was there, by the way. He crashes through the front gate, and she... of course, has 24/7 security. She's Jen Aniston. So they're holding him at gunpoint and the police show up. They were expected to book him on a felony charge of vandalism. The police seem to think it wasn't an accident. It's not clear at the point I start reading about this story, you know, why he did it. As of, as of Monday night, there was no word if the man was even targeting Aniston. She was home at the time. He has a minor criminal history, but nothing involving Jennifer. And then they opened his Facebook. And it turns out, I think he's going to get charged with stalking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possible stalking is what they're saying. They're holding, investigating gate crashing suspect for possible stalking. 71-year-old dude, though, finally just said, that's it. I don't have that much time left and I got to go be with Jen. you know?
So scary and creepy.
Oh my God.
And it sucks because she is a sitting duck. She's a sitting duck. That's the worst part of this reality that we face, where someone who is mentally ill can fixate and be in a spiral, and the person who's completely oblivious to whatever's happening around them in that way ends up just a victim, stuck.
I would say, though, at least she has a gigantic gate and armed security. I mean, it's slightly less of a sitting duck than, you know, say someone whose ex-boyfriend is from hell. LAPD Threat Management Unit is investigating. This guy's name is Jimmy Wayne Carwile. He drove onto her property and I guess he crashed into the gate is what they're saying here, but I'm not seeing any damage on the gate. By the way, her place is one of those ones, there is no glimpsing it. You cannot see it. It is a extremely tall, solid black gate with an even taller hedge that is probably covering up the barbed wire that's at the top of the don't try it. Wasn't it Jennifer Aniston who years ago was pissed off about drones? People were sending drones over the top of her place. Early days of drones, I thought.
Don't remember that.
Mm. I might be misremembering that. It might be somebody else, but anyway, police sources say they're looking into evidence that this is a stalking incident. They went into social media. There's a Facebook page with several bizarre and rambling posts, including one from last October when Carwile mentions Jennifer becoming his bride. They do seem somewhat unhinged. God, daddy's always watching me. This is one of them. And watches those who bless me, helping me get ready to see my bride, Jennifer Joanna Aniston Carwile. Should be y'all's top priority, it says here. So that guy, they got him though. It does. I always wish when I hear this stuff though, that there was some, they always say, you know, we can't do anything to somebody that you say is stalking you until they've done something. Like, I really wish that could change. Like, wouldn't it be great if someone threatened you one time and then they could go get them and just like dip the feet in the volcano, just, you know, make it a little bit harder for that guy to get at you. Scare him. I'm telling you,
I get that you say there's a wall there, but people who are being stalked are sitting ducks. They're just, and this person can spend all their minutes of every day focusing on, and I realize they're mentally ill. That's the problem,
right?
Is you can't pull them in and say, you're taking your medicine and you're going to sit there until you're leveled out.
Right.
We can't do that.
No, we can't force people, but it really does feel like it's definitely prevalent enough that I wish there were, they haven't done anything yet. A restraining order is nothing.
Nothing.
They might not even know that you have a restraining order.
It doesn't change what they can run up and do to you. And right. After the fact, sure, the restraining order, they broke this restraining order, but they also put a knife in your back. Right. So, you know.
It's a little too late for the restraining order.
Thanks.
To do anything.
And if you're wondering why, I've been stalked. It happened to me. So I'm familiar with this. And when I went to the police, they were like, you're going to have to watch your own back because we can't. Mm-hmm. And I just went, that's innocence lost. Oh. All of a sudden, I'm like,
you have to take a different way.
I'm walking
way home
around
every day.
And like going, man, I don't want to have to. I liked the old me that used to just, you know, float around and never thought about who could be behind whatever corner.
Mm.
Ugh, it's terrible.
Yeah. And frankly, I mean, when you're at your house, look, you're Jennifer Aniston. You have security, you have walls around you. But still, it doesn't matter what your situation is. If you are at your home, you want to feel safe. And to think that someone's trying to crash their car through. And these days, with the availability of guns, I mean, okay, great, you've got guards.
Well, I'm glad she's okay.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. And from that to this, I don't like it. Nobody does. I think Smokey Robinson is a national treasure. He is facing sexual misconduct allegations from four women. He and his wife, Frances, by the way, Smokey Robinson, 85 years old. I don't know how old his wife, Frances, is. They're facing sexual misconduct allegations that go like this. Four former housekeepers are suing them for sexual battery, assault, false imprisonment, gender violence, creating a hostile work environment, and more. They're looking for $50 million in damages. The women worked for Smokey and Francis between 2012 and 2024. They each claim to have been forced by Smokey multiple times during their employment, and they said they had to let him or they'd lose their jobs. They claim Francis knew what was going on, did nothing to stop it, and they say that she was a horrible boss, which they threw on there at the end. I feel like, okay, that's almost like implied here. So I don't know how that will go, but Smokey Robinson is the latest. And throw him on the pile with Diddy. Prosecutors are blasting this, I guess this celeb, this Mark Garagos, you heard this name?
Yep.
Yeah.
He is, he's an attorney. He's part of the whole Diddy group. And he's going on the TMZ podcast and blabbing about it. And the judge is super pissed. You know, they've started this week. So they started jury selection on Monday. And I assume that Diddy is present for all of that.
Yes.
I don't really know how all that works. I don't watch enough Law and Order, really, to necessarily know all the ins and outs, Finn.
Yeah, I haven't been paying attention to this, but I did just see that the review of Diddy is that his hair's gone gray and he's gained weight. And I thought, wow. Well fed in prison, huh? Okay. Mm.
I'm looking at the drawing, the court drawing. What are those called? There's a name for that.
Courtroom artist?
Courtroom rendering? Oh, sure. Whatever. Just like somebody drew something that happened in the courtroom. I'm sure there's a name for it. They have got him kind of gray. And his federal sex trafficking and racketeering trial commenced on Monday in Manhattan. With the selection of the jury, he faces five serious charges, including racketeering, two counts of sex trafficking, two counts of transporting individuals for prostitution. And if convicted, he faces life in prison. One of the stories I heard last week was there was a plea deal offered to him, and he was like, nah, we're going to trial.
Well, he is a guy who has somehow made $1 billion, and I can't put my finger on it. He had a verse in Mo Money, Mo Problems, but that was Biggie. That was a biggie. Like, I don't get this guy at all. I know he did like some making the band or something.
Yeah, I don't know why he's super rich either, but he's clearly a big deal, or was a big deal. I mean, people were sending them to Diddy camp. Like, Justin Bieber went and lived with him at age 15.
One thing's for sure, whether or not he gets set free, he doesn't get his old life back at all. Like, that's the cat's out of the bag where that's concerned, right?
I would think so.
I mean,
he's still
the old lube deliveries around the back. Like, that's not.
Yeah, there is no more around the back. I want him to be. Well, maybe there is. I don't know. We can't stop people. Anyway, during the jury selection, about 150 potential jurors were presented with a list of 190 celebrities and public figures to identify any that they recognized. Like, they did a screening process where they were like, look through these and check off any that you reckon. We want people who don't know anything about this. Did you find out what the courtroom sketch thing is?
No.
That's what it is. I looked it up. Courtroom sketch. You had it right.
I had it right that time, so if it didn't happen the other times. So the list included notable names like Michael B. Jordan, Kanye West, Kid Cudi, Mike Myers, Michelle Williams. Ran the gamut. Don Richard, I don't know who that is. That would have been no on that one.
What kind of freaks are you going to find that haven't heard of any of these people?
You know, that's the thing. To be this famous and to be looking at people who are on a par with that, it's going to be really hard. But they kind of have to find people who are like, yeah, I don't follow pop culture at all. I don't know anything about this.
I think there are a lot of people, not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're out there. Your sister's one who does not want to look at the news.
But she would know from pop culture people. She would recognize some of those names.
The point being, there are people who avoid certain stuff. And right. I can see someone being like, I don't care about celebrities. I work 80 hours a week. I have 15 kids, whatever, right. Whatever the thing is.
I can't even be here. I'm so busy. What am I doing here? Potential jurors were also asked about their views and experiences related to sexual assault, domestic violence, prostitution, Questionnaire included questions about the celebrity bias. Anyone with strong preconceptions based on video or other media coverage could be disqualified. They're trying to seat a jury, they say here, that can fairly evaluate serious charges like sex trafficking and racketeering. Yes, your hand is up. Oh my God, where did the time go? Okay, there's more, but if you want it, just Google Diddy. It's all there for you. What's coming up, Vim?
NBC Bay Area's Scott Budman is next.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up!
Wake up!
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit, yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show, our whole show, whenever you want to listen to it. The Sarah and Vinny Full Show Podcast. Check it out on the free Odyssey app today.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Pardon me. Thanks to the Fremont Bank Foundation, Aqua Adventure is more than just a good time. Their support makes community programs like this possible. Start planning your epic summer now. Now at GoAquaAdventure.com. That's GoAquaAdventure.com. Aqua Adventure Water Park and Fremont Bank Foundation, bringing your summer to life. Ladies and gentlemen, we now welcome in good friend of the show, lead reporter for the Alice News Network, and also can be found, you know, most weekdays at NBC Bay Area. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Budman.
Scott!
Hey, guys.
Hey, there he is.
For a second there, I thought, oh, no.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. So we've had it's been a minute, and we've had quite a few things come across the desk. So I'm excited to have you on. I think we need to start with what we spoke about yesterday. There's this new app that Meta has put out. It's Meta AI, and we sort of looked at it yesterday, and we're trying to sort of figure it out. Have you used this app yet, and do you like it?
So that would be a yes and a no. I have tried it, and I agree with those who say it's intrusive and creepy. And granted, you know, we talk about this a lot. My job is to kind of be skeptical about this thing. But AI is being used in a lot of ways that may even create some jobs and help some people get some things done. This is an app on its own. It's a separate app. You probably talked about that and have seen it. You can download it and talk to it, get some information as if it's a search engine, but it really wants to collect data on you, which is what Meta and a lot of these properties do. And you are hearing from people, I am hearing from people who are trying this out, and they say it is really creepy in the way that it kind of tries to be your friend by learning about you, and then, as AI does, tries to please you when you ask it for information.
That's a real thing, the whole please. Like, I love ChatGPT. I have a relationship with ChatGPT.
Okay.
And so it makes me feel like the movie Her...
Right.
Is right around the corner. Because it's getting really good.
I think this takes it a step closer. That's what jumps out at me, is now it's its own app, and it's trying to be personalized with answers that are tailored right to you and advice that it learns about you before it gives you advice. And if you notice, the first thing it does is, hey, describe yourself with some emojis. Tell me a little bit about yourself. We want some personal information. Just know that information stays there. You know, it's building a file about you and your interests and what you do and what you are, you know, all about. And that allows it to be what Mark Zuckerberg is talking about, your friend. He's saying we don't have enough friends in this world, and AI can fill the gap, as the voice of Scarlett Johansson did in that movie. And so that's why you think about what a friend knows about you, and, you know, a good friend, but it takes time to build up that intimacy and that familiarity. And AI, of course, wants to do everything instantly. And so it feels a little strange when you look at that file and it tells you what it thinks about you. Some of it eerily correct, but like AI, some of it is going to be wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the stuff that it is tracking you with and sending you advertisements about. Right. So you just have to be really careful, like you would be with a new friend, You know, as far as divulging personal information.
Right. You got to get to know him. But it's on your phone, which means unless you've specifically told it no, it would have access to all your photos, all your and it's a meta thing, so it knows about your Instagram account. Like, it feels like it comes equipped with already some knowledge about you, or could.
Right. And much like, and it's so quick to be familiar and so easily downloadable. Maybe we don't think of it like we do an Instagram or even a Facebook, where they have these categories that you can go into and, you know, sort of edit what it knows about you and edit the photographs it can take and edit who sees your information. It's really important to do this when you download anything with AI, because AI by its nature scans and collects everything. Just and so you just have to be really careful with something this new, because A, we know about Facebook. It is a hoover of information. It just wants all your information because it voraciously collects it and sells you ads. And that's why it's a $1.5 trillion company. It's been very successful at selling you or collecting your data and selling ads based
exactly
on that data.
Exactly what you want.
We're talking to Scott Budman from NBC Bay Area, and I probably should have mentioned this in my setup, but so we're talking about the Meta AI app, which I believe works in conjunction with the glasses. If you've purchased the Meta Glass,
I have.
But if you go to your Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, they're all linked. Is Meta AI also linked to all of those as well?
Unless you decide that you don't want it linked to your Instagram information. And there are ways and pull down menus to say, don't collect this data, don't look there. But you have to be really thoughtful about that.
Savvy.
So assume that everything is linked. And Sarah, I'm curious. I've tried those glasses. What do you think as an actual owner of them? Do you like them?
I'm not using them. I have them. I used them a couple times. I passed them off to Maddie. I thought to myself, oh, maybe I can use them. And then I tried to set them all back up. And now they're just, I'm not using them. But all Bob, right. You have some, yeah? By the way, Scott, meet Bob. Bob, meet Scott. I don't know if you guys have interacted
so nice
at all yet.
So nice to meet you.
Hi.
You were the one who told us that that's what this AI is connected to, are these Meta glasses.
Yes. It's part of the app. Yeah. That's
and you're using the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And you love the glasses. They're
cool.
Useful.
They're cool. I'm still figuring out what I want to use them for.
Right. It seems like the potential's there, but
yes,
we're not necessarily seeing that right off the bat.
Yes. The video quality is not nearly as good as your phone, which is like definitely an issue. But
at least your hand's free.
Yeah. But I'm excited for AR, like augmented reality on the glasses, kind of what we were talking about yesterday.
Like an overlay, Scott, of like maps and, you know, someone just to, you know, chat with you and keep you company while you walk to wherever you're going. Just like if we could just have a quick convo.
Oh, man, I don't like it at
I do
all.
Like an AI relationship.
Well,
really
that's what it's
me.
Trying to
gets
sell
me.
You.
Yeah.
That is the new thing is, and that's sort of Zuckerberg's big thing is, for some reason, he thinks we want these artificial friends. And I don't know. And I don't know if it's an age thing. Hey, I'm too old to want artificial friends, or just the fact that I really, really like talking and interacting with, you know, real people.
Right.
That I don't know where the time comes where I'm going to want to talk to a bot. But they are real, and people are talking about these relationships for better or for worse. They can be very dangerous, especially for young, impressionable teens, people like that. But some people are finding advice in a conversation, or, you know, some comfort in a conversation. And I get that too. Mm. And you know, if it's a phone or a pair of glasses that help, maybe it's helpful. We just really have to be careful with this stuff.
That's my next question, actually. So Scott Budman, NBC Bay Area, tech reporter right here in the heart of Silicon Valley. And you've got a couple kids. So as you've raised them and you're dealing with all the tech as it blows up, are these things that you've tested and gone to them and said, don't use that,
that's
please?
That's a hard no.
Are there things that you've had to sort of scare them off of? Or do you feel like you just have to let them learn their own lessons that way?
Yeah, I mean, my kids are old enough to wear. And when they get to be teens, you can't really say, don't do this, because that's going to lead to them doing it. So I actually go to school on what they do, and I see how they like this stuff. And some of it, you know, if they say, I don't want artificial friends, I've got real friends, you know, there's nothing that a parent wants to hear more than that. That's really good news. But of course, Instagram is big. TikTok is huge. And, you know, to the point where they're telling me about news items that they've gotten from these social media services. And, you know, that's a lesson for me. I get it. This is where they're getting their information. But we do talk a lot about this, and we talk about the risks involved and all that stuff. But I get it. It's a huge, not only world, but therefore a huge industry. Mm. And I mean, there's just no way around it. This is how people are communicating, and this is where they are meeting their friends in real life, their real life friends.
Right.
I just haven't seen even a young person that is going to say they have a better relationship with AI. It might be happening, but to me, that's...
Might be happening to me.
That's hopeful, wishful thinking by the companies like Meta, right? I mean, that's their hope.
Yep.
Please be best friends with this and tell them everything.
You don't need anybody else.
Right, because if you and I talk, Vinny, and we talk about our most intimate details or whatever, nobody sells ads in that transaction. Right. And nobody outside of that transaction knows about those things. And that's why good friends are so important and so great. And if you found out that one of your friends was somehow making money on that information, you'd probably feel a little violated, a little cheated, a little hesitant to give that information. That's how we should feel about these otherwise kind of cool eyeglasses and bots and apps and things like that.
So that was the conversation about Meta AI. You just brought up TikTok, and it occurred to me, what's the status of TikTok? Is that going away? Did that get bought? It seemed to have just dropped out of the news cycle.
Yeah, it did, because when the latest deadline, and this was a deadline that was even put off once by the president, came back and, do we have a deal? No, we don't have a deal. The deadline was supposed to be, that means TikTok is banned in America, but that was just put off and the can has been kicked down the road further. My guess, there's so much money behind this and so many young users that the administration doesn't want to tick off, that there will be some sort of a deal with TikTok and with ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns it. And it may have something to do with these gigantic tariffs that the US and China are putting on each other and sort of going back and forth in this trade war. I have a feeling TikTok ends up somewhere in there, but it's hard to imagine a world without it, because for all of its problems, and we talk about this stuff all the time with privacy and data collection, the fact is it's huge, and so many people really of all ages love it. They have their businesses on it so they can make money on it. It's a gigantic force, you know, as is Instagram and Twitter and all of those sites. These are how we communicate and how we do so many things in our daily lives that, although I have no doubt that young people would find a replacement pretty quickly, I would be surprised if TikTok just flat out goes away.
Right.
This next thing on my sheet here, I don't know about. I know Sam Altman, I know the name well, but
he created my friend.
And we've only got a couple minutes, but the new Sam Altman company, Orbit, is very Minority Report, and they're scanning eyes in Union Square. What is this? What do you know?
So, yeah, I did a story when they opened that Union Square place, and it's got these orbs that scan your eye. And again, I mean, Minority Report is the perfect example. It always comes back to some high sci-fi movie.
This is a great movie.
We recently rewatched
that, and it holds up. It's great. It's a Tom Cruise movie from, I don't know, 20 years ago.
That's funny. I recently rewatched it. It holds up really well. You're right.
And scary.
This, and like 3 days later, I was up at this orb thing.
Oh,
and
it scans,
it scans your eyeballs, and the Altman part of it, the part that it wants to do, it's called like World or something like that, and it wants to just make sure that it's really you, a real person in this AI world. And I get that, because of deep fakes and all of these ways that AI can create art so realistic that we don't know that we are watching something real or something created. That said, there is very little more intimate about you than your retina scan. So this is you. And again, we really have to be thoughtful about the privacy concerns here, because this company is going to know a lot about us and everything we tell it. And it knows it's us because of the retina scan. So look, if you're getting your retina scanned or thinking about it, hey, cue up Minority Report. See what that is going to inevitably lead to.
Could be a problem.
And if you're cool with that, hey, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we walk down through a mall and the walls start talking to us and selling us things. And that's absolutely cool.
Why not?
Cool.
Tailored to us. Hey, right. Listen, though, you know, what about, because I'm thinking retina scans, what about clear? Like, they get you, they're like, come on through, we'll get you past this whole line, you just go right through there. And that is are they scanning your retinas, or are they just like, oh yeah, those are your eyes?
You know, I have to be honest, I don't have clear for that reason.
Oh my and God, is that just, true?
It is. Well,
you're amazing.
No, I mean,
how
I'm
do you
just
do it? How
a,
do you resist?
It's hard because I do fly every once in a while, and I'm a little jealous of that, but I'm just hesitant to give up data, even though we all do all the time. That said, there is a positive trade-off to this, and I get it. If you are known to be you and not a bot that allows you into certain websites that, you know, are going to let you do what you want to do because you're a real person, it's going to allow you to get through the airport a little faster because they know you're a safe person. I get all that. We just have to decide what to do and what not to do when it comes to our personal information and our physical biometric information. And I haven't done clear yet, but I totally get that people love it and it's a little faster. And yes, it's that kind of biometric data that is very unique to us, and therefore they have our information.
It's valuable to them.
The clear thing is tough because, and I fell for it because I'm dumb and because I was in a rush, but there you are walking into the airport, there's the line that you have to get in, and there's a nice person saying, hey, if you want to skip the line, just come through here real quick and we'll get you right through. And I went, yeah, I of course I want to do that. Why would I? I'm going to go wait in the long line instead of the, yeah, let's do that. And then the next thing you know, I'm giving up info and I'm in that sort of spaghetti. Now I'm like, wait, I don't know if I want to do this. Let me start pushing back. And I realize the ball is rolling on this already.
And they may have already scanned your eyes.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. So it's really, that's one of those things. If there's anything you can say about clear, be warned. They'll sell it to you right there in the...
It's too late for me, and I totally love it and use it every time I go to the airport.
And I was going to say, Vinny, that doesn't make you dumb. That makes you take advantage of a technology that works and gets you to your flight faster. And in a lot of ways, that's very smart. I get it. That makes sense.
But you don't, in that moment, stop because all you're doing is wait, 15 minutes? I need that 15 minutes. Let's do this.
Right.
And then you go, oh my God, I just gave them everything.
Next thing you know, you're consulting your AI friend and asked if you've made a good decision.
Right.
Well, let me know. So I feel good about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Bugman from NBC Bay Area. And of course, the Alice News Network. Thank you, Scott. You're the best.
Anytime, you guys. Thanks.
All right. Stick around when we come back. Hilarious Baldwin.
All right.
Hello.
Listen, think about this.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
I love it.
Alice at 97.3.